Good evening, everybody. Welcome this evening to Atlanta Life Radio's presentation of Soul Inspirations Radio. I'm your host this evening, Christine KFC. And before I actually get started, I'd like to go ahead and give a shout out to Brian Jarrett. Brian produced and wrote the intro and the exit music that you hear every week when you tune in so graciously to our show. So just wanted to give a shout out to Brian Jarrett. He is a Memphis musician, and that actually ties into tonight's guest. So what we're going to do tonight, we're going to spend the next hour chatting with another amazing and creative musician that just so happens to be from Memphis. And I hope at the end of the hour that my goal with this show is actually to hopefully that something in the message that I've spoken of or that the artist has spoken of inspires you in some way. So let's go ahead and let me tell you who this is. Tonight's guest is, her name is Laramie Renee. Laramie Renee is the founding singer-songwriter of a band appropriately named Laramie. And they are a Memphis band. And so let's go ahead without any further ado, bring her on air. Hey, Laramie, how's it going tonight?
Hi, good. How are you, Christine?
I am very good, very good. A little bit of a crazy day today, but I'm here with you, and we're going to rock the show, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. So Laramie, we actually met each other through Ken Stewart, who's founder of Vivian Music College. And he hooked me up with you and said, hey, you know, I think Laramie's music is awesome. You know, listen to it. She'd be a great guest. And so, wow, I looked into that, and your music is just, it's different. I love it. It's very
emotional.
You are so welcome. It's very, very emotional, and you're a very interesting person. So I'd like to start. You are, and I'm sure, you know, your music, your lyrics are coming from somewhere, and that's what I love. You know, you're expressing something. So why don't you start and just kind of, are you tell us about yourself. Are you from Memphis? Are you relocated there? Or
I'm actually not. Yeah, I've lived here. It'll be 5 years in August. I'm originally from California, Central California, and I've lived in a handful of different states. I lived in Nevada for about 7 years, grew up there. I lived in Chicago for a while. So the culture shock of living in Memphis didn't hit me as hard as some people that I've met, but I mean, I like it, and it's cool to kind of put some roots down in Memphis for a little while, but it's a cool city.
Yeah, well, it's very cool. So when you were growing up, you know, I mean, you're what, 25 now, right, roughly?
Yes.
About, okay.
Roughly.
So,
yeah, I am 25.
Roughly, you're 20. Well, yeah. When you're young, 25 and a half, I don't know.
No, I don't need to be any closer to 30.
Then you'd really be old, right? Don't even go there.
Yeah.
let's back up a little bit. And I know we talked a little bit prior, but I really don't like to get too much information, you know, from my guests before we talk, because I just truly want it to come out, you know, honestly and openly the first time when our listeners, you know, the listeners, everybody that you're listening, we're talking about this for the first time, and it's true to everything. So tell me about, you know, when you were growing up, were you musical? Did you think you were going to grow up and sing and do what you're doing right now?
you know, yes and no. I actually wanted to be a professional ballet dancer, but I didn't start dancing until I think I was like 10. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you know, when I was, like, 6, 7, 8, I remember putting on, my parents had a record player, and I would put on the soundtrack to Copacabana and dance to Mary Manilow, and I was like, Mom, I'm going to be, not my finest hour, but I was like, Mom, I'm going to be, you know, a singer and a dancer, and I just wanted to perform and do theater, and, but I never thought that I would be, you know, like striving to be a music artist, living in Memphis, I was definitely convinced that I was going to be dancing ballet for the rest of my life, or, you know, in some area of theater. But I mean, my dad's a musician, and my mom is very creative, but she was actually a basketball coach. So, I didn't really grow up, you know, playing all kinds of instruments and stuff like that. I'm not multi-talented that way.
So what kind of music did your dad play? What kind of instruments did he play?
I remember him playing so many different things. Like, he grew up playing trumpet. He plays piano. He can play guitar. I remember him picking up the banjo and playing that every once in a while. Any type of horn, I feel like he was able to just pick up and play. I don't know if they're all just so similar that you can pretty much do anything. But I mean, he has his master's in conducting, and so he's got a very musical brain. And So I think that's what he and I have in common the most, is our music interests. Because he was always showing me, you know, different music, and so I kind of grew up with his musical influence, but I didn't really take that
you
on
never
until
picked
way
up,
later in life.
You never picked
so
up the
pick
trumpet
up
or anything?
No. Oh, my gosh.
Or the,
no.
Or the banjo? No banjo?
You know, I was listening to a song yesterday that has a banjo in it, and I was like, man, if I could just play something, I could pretend to play piano a little bit, but banjo would be awesome.
I love banjo playing. It's hard to do. I know that. I don't play the banjo, but I know even if you're a seasoned guitar player, the banjo is completely different from what I'm told.
Yeah.
You know, and it's crazy. My oldest daughter plays, she plays a guitar, but she tried to play a banjo, and she picked it up, you know, kind of quickly, but it was hard, completely different.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, maybe you might want to integrate that into something, to the band. but then again, based on the your band and the feel of it, I'm not sure. I'm not really sure the banjo would fit into it.
I mean, we can probably work it. You never know.
You never know. So were you in choir in school? You know, you were at chorus, and then you got high school. I mean, what kind of, was there a moment in a point that you said, hey, you know, I really want to take this singing seriously?
Well, what's funny is I was homeschooled. That's not the funny part, but I was homeschooled. And so the only, you know, like choir and theater experience I had was in church or like community events. And then when I got into dancing, it was like tunnel vision. Like that's the only thing I was focused on. My dad was actually a worship pastor for most of my childhood. And when I was, I think, like 18, I was still dancing, and I was just so ready to, you know, just get out and go. And I was living in Chicago by myself. And the Lord, I remember being in my car, and I heard the Lord say, you need to take a break from dancing, and you're going to lead worship. And I was like, no, I'm not. And it took me a little while. I ended up quitting the dance scene after a couple of months of kind of going back and forth with the Lord. But then it wasn't until, so I think I was like 18 or 19 at that time. It wasn't until I was 21 that I actually moved to Memphis to go to Visible, which is how I know Ken, to study music. That was the first time I had ever, like, I think I had taken a couple voice lessons just like here and there growing up, but nothing serious. So the music thing really didn't happen until I butted heads with the Lord and finally submitted.
We know the one, don't we?
Yeah, well, it's so crazy because the Lord totally knows the desires of your heart. And
yes, he does.
Sometimes that's kind of a cliche thing, I feel, because when he's asking you to give something up, that means that there's something that you actually desire more and, you know, that you will thrive in. And he knows that. And I wouldn't go back for anything. So,
I love your words because I've had many situations in my life where you hear that voice, you know, and it is the Lord, and it's going a different direction, and it doesn't necessarily seem logical. Circumstances may not be appropriate for what you're being told to do, but actually, I had a similar conversation with a previous guest, Ryan Kilgore. He's a jazz saxophonist with Stevie Wonder's crew that he was touring with. Yeah, and Ryan had a very similar moment where he had, I'm kind of paraphrasing this, and forgive me, Ryan, but basically he had no money, but he heard a voice, and it was basically saying, look, go get your passport. You know, and Ryan's like, hey, you know, why? I have no idea. I've been trying to get gigs with these bands. I'm not doing well. He had no idea, but he went. He bought he got his passport with a little bit of money that he did have. And 3 weeks later, long story short, he gets a call stating, you know, hey, would you be interested in touring with Stevie Wonder? And the first place he needs to be is in Japan.
Oh, my gosh.
You hear that.
That's so wild.
Yeah.
I love
your words, and I love that you go there with the Lord, because I love submitting, because it's just such a true, it just takes our faith to a place where it needs to go. And now, look where you are. I mean, you didn't know it, but
yeah.
He did, like you said. So,
totally.
Yeah, I love that. And so, I mean, you told me previously when we spoke that, so you initially, when you started college at Visible, your focus or your major was what? Worship, as a worship singer? Or what was
worship
it?
Leading. Yeah, okay. So it's a worship degree. So basically all of the degrees from Visible are ministry degrees. So you're, you know, prepared to be in the world, but also as well, you know, like in the church. And but the worship leading degree is basically training you to be able to go in and, you know, if you go into a Methodist church or you go into Episcopalian or, you know, a Baptist church that has a choir or a contemporary church, you know, and be able to lead kind of in that culture and in that environment and, you know, listening to the Spirit and the theology behind worship and all that. So that is what I came out of Visible with, the degree in worship leading, which I do use. I lead worship at my church here in Memphis, High Point, Memphis. Then I'll help out with some different churches in the area whenever they need some shoes filled, you know, every once in a while. So it's kind of cool. I mean, I really enjoy being able to come be a part of a different body and help them grow and be able to come home to my church. So,
right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we're going to, in a couple of minutes, we're going to go ahead and play one of the songs that you wanted me to play tonight. It's called Reverie. And tell us a little bit about, the song, but what inspired the song? And because all of your songs are so passionately, they're such a passion that's in you, that's coming out. But tell us about Reverie and what inspired that.
You know, I remember, I think I was trying to figure out something. I was working on a different song with my roommate who also plays guitar in the band. And whatever I was trying to do didn't fit, and we couldn't really place it anywhere. And I was like, okay, we'll just play something totally different. And a lot of times for me, It's not even the lyrics first, it's usually the music. And so when she started playing, you'll hear it in the song. It starts with just finger picking on an acoustic guitar. And I'll just kind of feel that instantly. And it just, like, I'll go to whatever place, you know, wherever I feel like that music takes me. And then I'll just write. And this song, I don't think I understood what it was about when I first started writing it, but it's basically about how people are always looking ahead, you know, like, oh, I can't wait until I retire. Oh, I can't wait until I make it big, or I can't wait until I have kids and I can finally do this. And, but then there's also kind of that flip side where people are like, man, I miss the good old days. I miss when I was a kid. I miss, my parents coming home from work. I miss the dog we had, you know, they just wish they could go back. And so Reverie is talking about how, like, you're looking forward, and it says, I was scared that I would fail, travel down your Mary's hail, which is kind of like whatever path people are choosing to try and get to where they want to be. And then it's like, Reverie, come get me and take me back home. And it's like that dream that you have in your head of where you want to be and where you used to be, and you just want to go back to the good old days. And you can't. And, like, our life is right now, and where the Lord has us is right now. And so it's kind of like, man, I just need to be there, and I know where I want to be, and I know where I'm headed. But what is present is what is happening. And so it's kind of, I feel like that was kind of a jumbled explanation of it, but.
No, it was perfect. And again, I really relate too. And I know, I bet our listeners do, because so many people, the first thing you said was people are looking to the future. Obviously we want, you know, we all want to have goals and things we're planning for the future, but we can get so caught up in thinking about the future and doing something when, you know, I'll do this when I get that raise, or I will do this when, I'll have people when I finally clean up my house, you know, that kind of thing. You know,
yes.
Those things never happen. So yeah, live in the present and take every piece of joy out of the present you can. And I love that. So, well, on that note, we're going to go ahead and play your first song. Here it is. It's called Reverie by the band Laramie.
Come get me and take me back home.
Okay, that's so beautiful, Laramie. Why don't you go ahead and introduce your band members to us? Who's in the band?
Well, Aleli, her name's Aleli Hole, my roommate. She's the one playing the acoustic guitar in the very beginning. And then we have another guitarist, Dylan Wheeler. On drums is Jamison Patz, and my bassist is Eric Evans. And he actually, he didn't come into the group until after we had recorded that. But he is currently now playing bass, and they're all awesome.
Okay, and the band's been together. And yeah, so and that was what recorded what from your first the first EP, right? That you did or what?
That was actually that was released in December. That's coming from the new EP. Yeah. So that's a brand new
okay.
one.
So that is brand new. Okay. Okay, and that one's called is that the Hidden and Bear or what's the Hidden and Bear that you were talking about? Okay.
Yeah, Hidden and Bear is the new one that's going to be coming out in April. We don't really have a date yet. You know, sometimes this is actually the second time we've recorded the exact same EP. And the first time it was all like the entire system in the studio crashed and we couldn't save it in time. So this is actually the second time we've been going through it. And so I didn't put an exact release date. I just know it's going to be in April, so that we've got breathing room.
Right. Yeah. So then I was referring to your first, The Good Men that came out. What? That was 2 years ago.
Oh, The Good Men. Yes.
Yes.
That one was 2013. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yes.
That is so good. Hey guys, if you're listening, everybody, you need to go to YouTube, iTunes, okay, wherever they can find Laramie. I love that song. There's another one that I like. It's called that I was listening to Laramie. It's called Ventilate.
Yes,
that's really good too. And there's another one that I really thought was great of yours. It's called Heavy Hands, Heavy Arms,
Heavy in Your Arms.
Heavy in your arms. So, yeah, I like that too a lot.
That one's that one is a cover, and it is Florence and the Machine originally. Florence and the Machine is my absolute favorite. Like, I would probably have a heart attack if I ever met her in real life. I'm so inspired and so moved by her music. But yeah, that one's actually a cover, but it's so funny because it fits so well on the EP that it sounds like something that we wrote.
Right.
Yeah. It's so it's different from the original and so similar to everything else that we write that I write, I guess. But,
Well, and what I notice about what you write and, you know, researching, you know, you and everything, I noticed that you seem to, it's almost like you're an advocate for people who, but what I got out of it is that you're an advocate for people that maybe find it hard to release their own feelings and to express that. So it's almost like when I'm listening to your music, it could take somebody to a place where they're kind of just ripping away these layers of shame and guilt, and you know, because you are a Christian and you do have that that influence in your music. I'm sure that is that a lot of times where you think a lot of this comes from.
I do. I feel like the goal of the things that I write sometimes is a little bit misunderstood. Because a lot of the songs are, when you read the lyrics, they're very dark. And, but they're very raw and honest and, you know, especially those that love the Lord. I mean, we're called to be honest and open and, you know, to be that example of Christ. And we're not always, you know, daisies and and, you know, fields of pop, you know, like life isn't
right,
like
right.
that, especially when you're
uh-huh.
following Christ, you know, life gets harder sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And,
it's more like a huge mountain.
No.
With a lot of rocks.
Yeah, it's, yes. Uh-huh. And so I just feel like, I don't know, I'm so convicted that somebody needs to say mm-hmm. something, you know, like, hey, I'm not in a place where I feel like I love the Lord, you know, like he and I are battling it out right now. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going against anything that the Lord has, you know, revealed to us. I mean, that kind of intimate relationship with the Lord calls for honesty. And so I just, you know, some of the things are things that I've been through and some aren't. But especially for the ones that aren't, I believe that the Lord has just kind of laid that burden on me and I'll just kind of emote.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, because, you know, sometimes the next step isn't redemption. Sometimes the next step is just getting angry or getting it out or whatever. 'Cause you have to do that cleansing before the Lord, you know, and you have to be honest. So
Go ahead. No, I'm hearing it, and I like to do church, so.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's hard to explain sometimes, I feel like, because it's not like the Lord was mistaken once, because sometimes I'll get flack for, you know, Larry, why are you writing things that are so dark, or, you know, this song is about this, and it's like, yeah, but those things happen all over the world, even to people that love the Lord. Like, that doesn't mm-hmm. exclude you from, you know, the snares and the trials that the world brings, and I just feel that,
Well, that's what's coming out of you. Yeah.
Yeah. I just really feel that for people, and I'll feel that kind of from people, you know, just like
mm-hmm.
it might be a homeless person here in Memphis that I've walked past, and I can just feel that oppression, you know. And
well, I have here in my notes empathy.
Yeah.
And that word is all over
yes.
you, because I'm extremely empathetic myself, and it's a blessing and a curse sometimes, you know, because you said just a few minutes ago, you used the word burden, because you said, and what an unselfish thing for you to say, because you kind of feel like you've taken this burden of doing this. Other people may perceive it as being dark or whatever, but if it's what's in you and it's your truth and you're expressing your truth, then there's a purpose for it, you know, and
yeah.
it's going to touch somebody in some way. So you just keep doing that. But I know what you mean about the empathy and the feeling. You just feel that oppression, and it's like,
so
oh my
strong.
Gosh. Yeah.
So strong. Yeah.
And you want to save the world, I bet, don't you? But you can't.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think the Lord has that handled pretty well. But yeah,
I really,
sometimes I just want to, I don't know. Sometimes I can be the person, you know, just at work or at church, where I'm just the person who all of a sudden will say, you know, like, call it like it is, or say what everybody else was thinking. And
right.
it's like that. I just want to run around and do that, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
this isn't fair. And I know how you feel, and that's not okay. And, but I can't. So I just write about it.
But even at that, I hear your words too, because so many people, you know, so many people keep so many things inside, and they're just so afraid to express anything, and they're whatever issues they may have, and so here you come along, or whoever, you know, whatever their gift is, and you speak, or you sing, or you play a particular type of music, and it really kind of helps those kind of people to just
heal,
just let it go, to help them to feel surrender, like you said earlier, you know, let go,
yeah.
and kind of heal, That was another word that I wrote in my notes here tonight, because I think there's a healing to your music.
Yes.
So, you know, it's not dark. I mean, it's to me, what I get out of it is you need to go to the dark places to get to
yeah.
the light at the other end of the tunnel. And that, it's,
yeah.
to me, that's the issue with so many people today and the world, that no one wants to go to those dark places.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, and,
but,
you know, when you think about Christ, I mean, before, you know, the sacrifice, like before it was finished, I mean, he was beaten and he was spat on and he was deserted and he was betrayed and traded by his friends. And then he was hung on a cross and then he was forsaken by the Lord before he rose again. So it's like, we don't skip that process either. You
no.
know, we, mm-hmm. yeah, no, we are oppressed and we go through things and you have to get all that out and get before that. The redemption's already there, but before that, you know, that release and that healing comes, you definitely have to take care of it.
Absolutely.
So.
Well, I want to go ahead and play another one of your songs. Now, this one, okay, so this one's called Chin Up, and is Chin
yes.
Up on Hidden and Bare as well? Or where?
Chin Up is actually on The Good Men.
So it's from, okay,
so that
it's from back then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was from a while back, and that's actually, that's a huge one, I guess, with the theme that we're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
It's definitely, I'm going to tell our listeners, please listen to these lyrics. They are awesome. No, they're, the first time I listened, I was like, whoa, I think I know what this is about, and I was right. But it's so awesome. So we're going to go ahead and listen to that now. This next song, it's called Chin Up, by the band Laramie.
The dark began to close and the air became cold. And as I rebuilt my clothes, I started to fold under the great big sky. Those merciless clouds that the water washed over will never be found. I couldn't let the tears go, he wouldn't let them come. I couldn't let my fears go, he had them undone. Couldn't say a thing as he rose to his feet. And all I smelled in the air was a stench of defeat. He said, hold your chin up. My life out, took my pride out. He said, hold your chin up high, kid. You're never gonna see this again.
Hold your chin up high, kid.
You'll never see it again. He said, hold your chin up high, kid. Oh, you're never.
Heavy.
So
tell us what that's about.
Am I allowed?
I'll tell you, and I know we spoke about this previously, the first time I heard about it, I listened to it, I thought to myself, it's someone's being assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
It was an assault happening. So is that basically what's happening?
Yeah, totally. It's basically from the eyes of somebody who's been raped or taken advantage of or whatever.
Right.
And
like a sexual assault? Something sexual,
yes.
Assault? Fucking assault? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I suppose it really wouldn't matter, but the way the song is written, that's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if it to send somebody else free from some other type of abuse, I mean, that would be awesome. Anyway.
Absolutely.
But yeah, the thing about that song, it haunts me every time I hear it because it's just like the weight of it is so heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I feel like with people that I've encountered in my life, whether I've like still, you know, good friends with them or not, rape and sexual assault in general is such a huge, I mean, it's like, I don't know what the statistics are right now, but
yeah.
I mean, it's at least almost every minute and a half somebody is, you know, assaulted, but a lot of times they never say anything, you know, because they're threatened or they're scared or they're embarrassed, and it's like, That wound affects everything that they do for the rest of their lives. And obviously that's not the only thing, you know, that hinders growth in people. But I don't know. I felt that so heavy and it just kind of came out.
Yeah.
And that's not something that I've experienced, like, to the extreme that this song portrays, but I mean, I have been taken advantage of and I have, you know, been violated, and it's just, you know, you can't go back. And, it's like that line in the song when he says, you're never going to see this again. I mean,
see this again. Yeah.
Yeah. He's taking that and she's never going to get that back.
And I knew exactly what that was. When you said that the first time I heard the song, I was like, wow, you're never going to see, I wasn't sure if it was, you're never going to see this, you're never going to see that again. And then it hit me, and I was like, whoa, that is. And it's like,
yeah,
this is heavy, you know. And,
yeah.
But you know what? You're doing, okay, so like in most, you know, with most musicians and they're releasing emotions, it's very cathartic for you you know, because you're releasing something, but then again, you're also, the listener is being touched. And, you know, think of, you know, if one person listens to that and says, you know, I'm feeling this, and I'm not going to hold
yeah.
it in anymore. I'm going to speak up. And, you know, to
yeah.
me, I mean, and especially with my walk in the Lord, with anything else, if I can touch one person, one human being on this earth, like, how amazing is that to just touch one person?
Yeah.
You know, when you do what you do and you're touching so many, it's a great feeling, right?
Yeah. I mean, I want for that song specifically, I mean, there's another song, I think it's on our Facebook page. It's definitely on Reverb Nation. It's called What Happened There. And that one, to me, I think when you listen to the lyrics, can appear heavier than Chinette, but I mean, they're not, you can't compare any kind of experience like that. But I just want people to be able to say, like, you know, me too, you know, like that's exactly how I feel, or for a song like that to speak for them, you know, because so many people are just so silent and so imprisoned by their experiences, and it's just, it's such a dungeon.
I do want to change gears here a little bit, because it's been kind of heavy and so
yes.
it's good in a good way, but trust me, I love it. But I want to change gears here a little bit and talk about, okay, so the band's been together for a couple of years now, and
yes.
do you mostly play just in the Memphis area? Where do you play? What type of places? Go ahead and you just let it roll and let all our listeners know where they can, you know, see you play, what you do.
Yeah. Well, we are currently looking to book wherever, as long as we can mm-hmm. make it there and be able to eat and sleep. But we've played a lot around Memphis. And we were on kind of a hiatus for 2015. We had some band readjustments, and we did a lot of writing, so we're just kind of getting back in right now. But I mean, after you've played, you know, so many places in Memphis, you're kind of
mm-hmm.
over it, and people are kind of over you. So
right.
Yeah, but I mean, Levitt Shell, Lafayette, New Daisy, AutoZone Park, we've played all those places and we've loved it. But I mean, Dallas, St. Louis, Atlanta, we just played a show here in Memphis with people from New York, and they've invited us up there whenever we want to come. So we've led worship before. We definitely aren't a quote-unquote worship band, but all of us love the Lord. And
right.
So that's the common thread. So nothing we play is without, you know, the hand of the Lord. But we can also lead worship, and all of us are actually involved in churches, whether leading or playing or whatever, up in Iowa, and I'm trying to think of where else. I think we've been to Wisconsin. We've traveled a little bit, but it's definitely
mm-hmm.
expensive.
Yes,
but,
it can be.
Yeah, but we've mostly mm-hmm. been Memphis, and we're trying to get out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just kind of, it's hard for, if it's just like a little weekend tour. But I mean, we're pretty much willing to go wherever, as long as we have the, ability to get there. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit about, okay. So earlier in the conversation, you mentioned something about, you know, what you do outside of the band, and you said all of you are Christian, and you know, you worship in some way within your churches and stuff like that. So what do you all do? Do you have a particular cause or charity that you all maybe have a heart for, maybe thinking about doing some kind of a something like that with a cause?
You know, I don't think that we... Well, let me put it this way. We have a lot of friends who are in bands, and they are they feel called to a certain demographic or a certain, you know, group of people or a certain culture, you know, whether or a singer-songwriter, and they just want to travel around in their van, and, you know, I don't know that there would be a specific charity. I mean, I feel very strongly about, like, sex trafficking and stuff like that. But my heart for the band, and I think our goal as a group is we all love the Lord so deeply, but we want to kind of be that bridge between the world and the church where we can go play a stingy bar, you know, where everybody is so drunk out of their minds.
Right.
And be the exact,
really
be the exact
right.
same people. Yeah. And I mean, play
right.
music that they're going to enjoy and just be Christ, because Christ didn't just, you know, go to the clean places or just hang out at
no.
church, you know, I mean,
right.
and, so my dream is to be able to play, you know, lost places like that, but then get up the next morning and lead worship and not compromise and be totally transparent without changing. And so I know that they would all do that in a heartbeat. So sometimes we get to do that if we're, like, at a bar in Memphis, and then we all have to get up early and go lead worship. But on the grander scale, I mean, it's really just I want to go in and say, you know what, the only thing that makes me different is my relationship
mm-hmm.
with the Lord, and I just want people to have that. So
I know. And you are, and anybody that's listening tonight, you know, you're very transparent, and I feel that's really the only way to be. You know, just share your gifts with everybody, do what you do, be who you are, and just hope and pray that, I mean, obviously God's going to, you're planting seeds wherever you go and you play. There are people there that are going to connect or not. And, you know, they're going to, like I said earlier, they're going to hear those words or, you know, whatever. And it's, I like to think of it that way. Do you look at it that way? Like you plant seeds?
Oh, yeah.
When you, yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I mean, I've had so many conversations, you know, where people just, I mean, they don't know you from Adam, and you're just talking, and, you know, they're probably not going to remember the next morning what happened that night, or, you know, that they bought five of your CDs, and they're going to wake up and be like, why do I have these? But there's going to be something about us, not because we're so awesome, that's not the point, but it's because we bear the mark of Christ, and that more than anything. I mean, we could get up and play, you know, cover all songs that John Mayer does, you know, and which don't talk about the Lord at all, and that wouldn't matter, but it's like, you know, you will know them by their love and by their fruit, and so, yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of conversations where the Lord does not come up at all, but then they'll see me, like, somewhere else, and they'll be like, oh, I had no idea. And I'm like, yeah, I mean,
but
we should all be the same.
Yeah, and you're doing what you're called to do. And so it's interesting, because I'm thinking about how you said you were so immersed in dance, you know, when you were 10 years old, and I know how that goes with my own girls, or at least one of them, you know, just the whole dance thing, and then and you got that sign or that revelation, you know, at that one point in your life,
yeah,
completely changed
yeah.
courses, your course of, you know, what you were meant to do. But I'm so I am so happy that you've shared your time with us tonight, because I've enjoyed talking with you. I know our listeners have, you know, learned a lot more about you, and I've been posting your songs on my Facebook page and whatnot. But if people want to follow you, they can tell everybody how to connect with you in any way.
Well, on Facebook, the name of our page is Laramie Music. So if you just search for that, there's not too many Laramies floating around, so it shouldn't be that hard to find. Our website is laramie-music.com, and there's a booking page, and there's lyrics and media and a gallery and, you know, bios and all that. And we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, Laramie Music, and we're Laramie, but social media wise, because there's a city Laramie in Wyoming, we're not allowed to just be Laramie. So it's funny, a lot of people will just introduce me as Laramie Music, and so whatever. Either way, as long as you find it and you're touched by it.
Right. That's all that matters. I'm sure you've been called worse, right? Probably not you, but, you know.
there's some interesting adjectives that we've heard before, and it's fine. I don't really care. I don't really care what people think about it.
Well, Laramie, do you have anything? I know you were talking just a few minutes ago about, you know, you're playing in and around Memphis. Anything coming up immediately, say within the next month, if people live in the Memphis area or they know someone who lives in Memphis, where they could probably most likely go see you?
Yeah, totally. Actually, next Thursday, a week from today, we're going to be playing with from Myrtle Beach. And they're just coming through on tour, and we'll be at the Brass Door, which is downtown. It's a little Irish pub. It's awesome. And my good friend Zoe Delaney is going to open, and she's an incredible songwriter. And then the next day, we'll be playing at the High Tone. So I guess that's Friday night. May 22nd, we'll be in Nashville at BB King's. There's like an entire list. It's on the Facebook page.
Go to the Facebook page. Check it out.
Okay. But definitely April 7th and 8th, the Brass Door and then the High Tone. Definitely come to those. Those are going to be fun.
Okay, good deal. Okay, well, Laramie, thank you again so much for joining us this evening.
Yeah.
And,
thank you for having me.
You're so welcome, and I will be in touch very soon, okay?
Awesome.
Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, well, that wraps up another interesting week with another creative, amazing musician. Make sure you do check out Laramie Renee on Facebook and all the other social media venues that she gave you. You can check her out. So, again, I just want to remind everybody that the purpose of my show is hopefully that through my words or the musician's words, that you are touched in some way. We all have a gift. We all matter. We're all just making our way in this world. And so I just hope and pray that everybody listening remembers to take time to smell the roses, number one. Look around. Find things that inspire you. You may not think there's anything, but there is. And So do that. Take time, look for things that inspire you, and don't be surprised if they're right in front of you. You may not think it, but they are. So just want to say that, and thanks again for tuning in, and till next week, hope and pray that everybody lives their life in the key of C.